When I was converted into Reformed Evangelicalism, okay, which was, in actual fact, it was very similar to what I imagine a lot of Southern Baptist life to be like. So the sort of gurus, the denomination I come from in South Africa has its gurus. And one of them at one stage was John MacArthur. Okay, so expository preaching and all that sort of thing. And then the gurus have changed over the years, you know. But I had a very good young pastor who's now a bishop in the Church of England in South Africa, and he loved doing Bible sort of school, so he took us through Romans. And so through that, I learned what I thought was Reformed theology. So these magnificent emphases on the sovereignty of God. From Martin Lloyd-Jones, I learned, you know, the utter objectivity of the work of Christ on the cross. These tremendous doctrines of justification, sanctification, glorification, election, predestination. So, you know, and the seminary I went to, I got the same, that was what it meant to be Reformed. Now, both Mike and I believe that with all our hearts, okay. But bear in mind, I was living in South Africa. That type of Reformed theology, in my experience, had absolutely nothing to say to the context in which we were living. In all my years of sitting in churches in South Africa, I have never, ever, and bear in mind I grew up through apartheid, I have never heard a searching call for repentance on racism. But we're Reformed. Okay. So, and it was really when I went to seminary, I was exposed to the works of Francis Schaeffer, and I still think that we have so much to learn from that movement. And especially if there's a book that I would want to recommend, and I know I'm anticipating your questions, it's Edith Schaeffer's book, The Tapestry, which I think is a classic narrative of what God did in Switzerland through the Schaeffers. But we watched the films, How Then Shall You Live? And so there I picked up, you know, Reformed Christianity is actually worldviewish. So I learned the word worldview. But still, it had nothing to do with what was going on outside the seminary. And then I became a youth pastor for a while after Oxford. And I started teaching about worldview to my students. You know, so once you're dealing with youth and university students, it's really hard to avoid the social issues. So I was teaching them about abortion and all these other things, and Christianity's worldviewish. And the more, so that became more and more real to me. And then I realized this terrible thing in South Africa: if it's a worldview, it also relates to politics. And that was the one boundary you were not allowed to cross in South Africa because of Romans 13. The government's appointed by God, they're Christian, and you know, this racism is necessary. Then I met up with Caperians, Afrikaner, Dutch South Africans, and there I learned that actually this is part of the Reformed tradition, that out of Dutch Calvinism has come this view that the gospel is and the Word of God relates to all of life. And so, you know, once you start to see this, it's actually everywhere in Scripture. So I love passages like in Acts of the Apostles, there's this description of Jesus as the author of life. You know, John's Gospel, chapter 1, the Logos came to that which was his own. Romans, for from him and through him and to him are all things. You know, so it's just everywhere. And so what this did to me was it removed me from just a Reformed soteriology to a holistic Reformed understanding of Scripture and the world without losing any of the gifts that the Reformed soteriological approach brings.
I would concur with everything you've said. I appreciate the narrative dimension of apartheid. That I mean, that's very important and very helpful. My own experience was going to Westminster Seminary and seeing two Reformed traditions at work. What I would call the Presbyterian tradition and the more Dutch Neo-Calvinist tradition at work, and not really being able to distinguish them at the time, be able to tell you what the differences were at the time, but realizing that both were alive in the seminary and often both were alive in the same person. And now I would distinguish them, and this is a huge overgeneralization, but I think there's some truth in this generalization. That I would say that in the Reformed tradition, the more Presbyterian tradition, it's a little more individualistic. It's a little more rationalistic, a little more inward, in the sense that it's about salvation. It's about the salvation of the individual. It's about good doctrine. And again, I don't want to detract from those things, the importance of individual salvation, the importance of good doctrine, the importance of the work of the Spirit within us, and so on. I don't want to take away from any of those things. But what I began to see was that in the more Dutch Neo-Calvinist tradition is there is an emphasis on the collective, recognizing that sin, yes, it comes from the heart, but it takes on structural features as well. And that, yes, it's about me embracing Christ, but I'm part of a community of God's people, that communal, collective dimension. But also the emphasis on the cosmic, what Craig mentioned, the cosmic scope of the gospel, the cosmic scope of salvation. And the cosmic scope of the salvation, because salvation is as far as the curse is found, from joy to the world, you know, and the far as the curse and sin is found is as broad as creation, so that cosmic dimension. But also, over against the rationalistic or doctrinalism, there's more emphasis on history, the historical event, that the cross and the resurrection, it's not, again, that the Reformed tradition denies that. It doesn't at all, but it's more on a theory of the atonement, a doctrinal theory of the atonement, as opposed to that event that took place and accomplished something. The resurrection is something that took place. So there's this emphasis on history, on what happened. And truth is not, first of all, theological ideas found in the Bible. Truth is events that give meaning to a story and to history and give meaning to our lives. And so to say that the gospel is true is saying that these events took place, these events give meaning to a story, these events have revealed and accomplished the coming kingdom of God, so that historical dimension. So I want to be very careful about contrasting these, because I think most Reformed theology is a mixture of these two. You see a strong mixture of this, for example, as ordained within the PCA, and you see a strong mixture of these. So it's more setting it off, try to set it off in a heuristic way to help you, to contrast them, sort of individualism, a more individualistic approach, more rationalistic as opposed to historical, cosmic, collective. These are some of the things I started seeing, and of course, in the Dutch tradition, you don't see a consistency with that at all. I'm just saying these are the kinds of things that I began to be attracted to in that tradition.